Over the following months, I saw quite a lot of Johnny. Early on, I had tried to end it with him. I wanted it to stop before things got out of control, but he wouldn't accept it. Part of me didn't want it to stop. He threatened to tell Michael about us, so things ended up a little out of control regardless. I got carried along with it. What can I say? He was 19. His powers of recovery were exceptional. He just couldn't get enough of me. I've never been so bombarded for sex in all my life. He fucked me on and on through so many nights, day in, day out, every opportunity he could. I took to wearing a diaphragm almost constantly. I never knew when to expect him, and he simply would not entertain the idea of wearing a condom. He was too young to really appreciate consequences, and he came inside me with reckless abandon over and over. I'll never forget this one time I was bringing in the laundry from the clothesline. As I turned to go inside, I heard a thud. It was him, landing on the concrete, having vaulted over the wall between our houses. He dragged me into the garden shed in broad daylight and fucked me senseless. He was fucking me so much, I thought I might overdose on him, on his cock. But the more I had, the more I needed. When I went to their house to take Michael's calls, he was always there. He loved nothing more than sliding his cock inside me and staying in while I spoke to my husband on the phone. He didn't always fuck me, only when Michael and I had phone sex. He loved to just be inside me, a constant reminder, never letting me forget for a moment how I was cheating on my husband with him. After a while, it became second nature. It's amazing what a woman can get used to. I think I only got to talk to Michael alone one time in that period. And I have to say, I missed Johnny so much when I took that call. I missed the feel of him inside me. When I mean, Michael's voice always turned me on so much. And I'd become accustomed to the exquisite sensation of Johnny's bare cock filling me, while Michael's voice made me tingle all over. So while I felt I had my cross to bear, I don't expect you to be sympathetic. After all, my toy boy's cock inside me, morning, noon, and night, was a cross that I loved. I felt so fulfilled. I still missed my husband from time to time, but I was thinking less and less about him. I was falling for Johnny. But then it happened, a bolt from the blue. One Sunday afternoon, I was standing in their kitchen, on their phone again, talking with Michael. Johnny was behind me. He had his hand down the front of my skirt, pressed between my legs, massaging me through the satin slip I wore as he pulled me back against him, his rock-hard cock pressing against my ass. I heard his zip going down and leaned forward on my elbows, eagerly awaiting the feel of him pushing up my skirt and sliding into me. He worked his cock into me so skillfully, so incredibly slowly, a truly divine sensation that made my eyeballs roll. "Hello, dear," I greeted Michael on the phone. Michael was bursting with excitement as he spoke, eager to unload some news. "Hi, Greta. I've got some news, good and bad. Which do you want first?" The good news. I repressed a moan of joy as Johnny delved ever deeper into my dripping cavern. I'm coming home, Greta. I instantly knew that Johnny had heard. His cock came to a sudden halt. Oh, Michael, that's brilliant. That's wonderful news. I could sense Johnny getting upset. I could hear it in his breathing. I can't wait to see you. Suddenly, I felt Johnny's anger. He drove his big cock fiercely into me, far too sudden and vigorously. I cried out, a shocked yelp of pain mixed with pleasure, and hoped Michael would think it was a cry of excitement at his news. I covered the mouthpiece of the phone and hissed angrily, "Stop it, Johnny!" It seemed to snap him out of his fury. "When are you coming home, Michael?" "Wednesday." "Oh my God, Michael, fantastic! I can't wait!" I felt Johnny slide his cock out of me. He stood right behind me, listening intently. "What's the bad news?" I asked hesitantly. "I'm finished working at the factory, but I've found something else. It's much better. I'm coming home for you. I'm going to bring you back with me. We can be a family again." I felt a sudden happiness and a deep sadness all at once. "Oh, Michael, that's so wonderful." I sounded a lot more sure than I felt. "I can't talk long today, Greta. I have so many things to arrange. I love you." "I love you, too," I responded. "See you Wednesday." I could hear the smile in his voice. He hung up, not waiting for a response to his revelation. As I hung up, I heard Johnny mimic, "I love you, too," in a mocking voice. He was hurt, angry. He wanted to hurt me, too. He grabbed my hair and pulled it hard, pushing me roughly against the countertop. He held my hair in one hand and my wrists behind my back as he began to fuck me. There was no love in him now, only anger. His rigid cock stabbed deep and hard, pushing into me much too suddenly. I felt concentrated emotion in his thrusts, hurt and anger. His cock felt prickly inside me. "Oh," I whimpered helplessly. "I love you, you fucking slut," he gasped. He paused deep inside before pulling out slowly, then driving viciously into me again. "What about me?" he cried as he paused again. I was about to answer, but he rammed his cock into me again, not giving me any chance to reply. "Oh," I whimpered again. My attempt to speak turned into a tortured cry. Tears welled up inside me. I was rammed against the counter by the force of his piercing thrusts, each compelling me to cry out, "Ah, please, John!" Each of his thrusts was followed by a lengthy pause before inflicting the next. He'd pull his cock out real slow, right to the tip, before driving it all the way inside me again. "That's right, you slut." He fucked me hard, angry, full of raw hurt and resentment. His cock jackhammered savagely in and out of me. Such a cold, detached fucking action, but burning with a savage emotional intensity. I was consumed by the sensations, overpowered by the feeling. His deep, hard, manly thrusts, accompanied by a brutal follow-through that crushed my body against the counter over and over, squeezing whimpered cries from me, leaving me breathless and panting. I knew, deep down, his emotions stemmed from the depth of his obsessive love for me. I felt nothing but the same compelling love for him as he relentlessly fucked me. The staggering pleasure I felt was totally unbearable. All at once, it exploded deep in my pussy. My juices streamed, thrills raced through my veins in crashing tidal waves of ecstasy. My pussy throbbed and convulsed in bliss under his fierce barrage. Ah! I screamed like a soprano as I came excruciatingly hard, sobbing and moaning all at once. My pussy contracted tightly in mechanical squeezing movements that I couldn't control, coating his driving cock in my wetness as he went on using me. It felt amazing, smoldering with intensity as he drew out so slowly, then glorious as he powered his cock back into my orgasming cunt. Every brutal lunge impelled my orgasm to more overwhelming heights, prolonging it. I was writhing defenselessly, coming and coming as he pushed into me with all his might, impaling me completely. I heard him growl like an animal as he came, spraying his hot semen deep within my gushing snatch. My chest heaved massively as I struggled to breathe. I felt a glow growing inside me as each pressurized blast of his seed pervaded me. I cried out over and over as I felt his warm wetness jetting inside me, feeling each splash as sexual lightning that sent tingling shockwaves shooting from my pussy to every extremity of my body, causing me to overdose on pleasure. After he finished emptying his engorged balls into me, he laughed caustically. "You love your husband, do you? That's why you can't stop moaning like a fucking whore every time I grace your slutty little cunt with my cock." His words rang true. I wanted him to stay in me forever. To further emphasize his point, he pulled out quickly, sadistically, wrenching his cock, my wonderful completeness, from my blossoming pussy, leaving it distraught, utterly devoid. He zipped up and walked away. "Please, Johnny," I called after him tearfully, but he didn't look back. What was I going to do? Although I hadn't yet told him, I knew I was falling hard for him. For the second time since I'd known him, he'd left me sobbing into the kitchen countertop. I didn't see him again that night or all the next day. I wondered if this was the end. It saddened me to think that might be my last memory of Johnny. On Tuesday night, he came to my house late, letting himself in. I woke as he climbed into bed with me. He just wanted to cuddle. He told me he was so sorry and that he didn't want to lose me. "I love you, Greta. I can't bear the thoughts of being without you." His voice cracked with emotion. He held me so tight. "I know, Johnny. It's okay. It's going to be okay." I whispered soothingly as I stroked his hair, my cheek on his neck. His scent was wonderful, intoxicating. We fell asleep, legs, arms, bodies intertwined together as one. On Wednesday morning, I woke up early, but Johnny was already gone. My heart ached, but I had things to get on with. I needed to prepare Michael's favorite dinner, and I needed to get dressed for him. I certainly didn't want to raise any suspicions. The kids were excited that Daddy was coming home. I felt a little strange myself, somewhat numb, unsure what I felt. The day dragged on, but at around 6 p.m., I heard a key in the front door. My heart skipped a beat, and the pit of my stomach fell, all fluttery. The kids were watching TV. "Kids, I think Daddy is home," I said. The handle of the kitchen door moved, and the kids ran to meet their dad, accosting him in the doorway, not giving him a chance to get inside or drop his bags. They each latched onto one of his legs. He laughed, crouching down to put his arms around them, as his gaze moved up to meet mine. I felt a flood of emotion run through me, a rush of love and warmth, a physical craving to feel his arms around me, to feel him touch me. I felt guilt and deep shame, knowing I'd had Johnny's cock inside me on so many occasions since he left. "How are you?" he asked as he dropped his bags and walked towards me. I was transfixed by his eyes. As he embraced me, I burst into tears. He held me tightly, reassuring me with his soft voice, and I tingled all over. I ached for him. "I missed you, Greta." I could see he meant it. "I missed you," I whispered gently through my tears. I felt terrible knowing what I'd done. I think this was the first time the enormity of what I had done struck me. We hugged for minutes, swaying gently from side to side. "Are you hungry, Michael?" "Yes, but..." His eyes had a wicked glint, and his smile was infectious. He turned to look at the kids. "Right. Who wants a present?" "Me, me, me," they screamed in unison. And so we spent the evening together as a family. The kids were delighted to have their daddy home and thrilled with their new toys. I stood in my navy skirt and white blouse, protected by a floral apron. As I finished preparing vegetables for dinner, Michael moved smoothly in behind me. His hands went to my waist, and he leaned in close to whisper something. "There's an image in my head that you put there a little while back," he whispered. His whisper tickled me, made me shiver. "Can you guess what it is?" he continued. "I come home starving, but not for dinner." He was barely audible. "I see my woman, and I can't resist her sexy body. I have to take her to fuck her." I was so turned on. His voice caused a rhythmic pulse, aching in my pussy. His hands went to my belly and converged on my mound, applying sweet pressure there, echoing Johnny's actions from that fateful day. As the memory came flooding back, the ache in my pussy grew more insistent. I let my head loll back so that my mouth came close to his ear. "Use me like a slut, over and over," I whispered. I could feel his erection, bone hard, pressing against my ass. It was a good job the kids were so engrossed in their new toys. "I'm going to. You have no idea how I've craved to stick this cock in you." His words made me melt. My slit seeped, soaking my satin panties through and through. "I'm wearing satin panties for you," I whispered seductively. He grasped me tighter. For a moment, I feared I'd said too much. His grasp on me tightened, and I actually thought he might fuck me, but he regained control. I wondered what had possessed me to cheat on this wonderful man. "Are you wet?" he whispered, his breath tickled my ear. "Yes, I'm dripping," I answered in a husky voice. "My balls are so full of cum for you. I can't wait, Michael. I want you inside me." So the tension built all evening. It was driving me crazy. He finally put the kids to bed. I waited impatiently in the kitchen, feeling myself getting nervous as his feet made soft thumps on the staircase. I stood by the rear window, waiting for him. He came in quickly, not wasting any time, not waiting for the kids to fall asleep, "I'm hungry," he said, "but not for dinner." He came in and took his woman, using me hard against the kitchen countertop, like I'd asked him to on the phone that first time I'd been with Johnny. He was utterly consumed with lust as he used me, but I felt strangely detached, pangs of guilt pricking my mind. He didn't notice. Afterwards, he took me to bed, and we made long, tender love. All the while, I was unable to get Johnny out of my head. As I lay in bed, listening to the still darkness, my husband breathing peacefully beside me, I was in emotional turmoil. I had a lump in my throat and a sickness in the pit of my gut as I worried about Johnny. I wondered if I was going to be drawn away from him, if I'd ever see him again. I felt like I had no control of my life's direction. My heart was bursting with sadness. Then, from out of the darkness, I heard a sound, a clickety noise. It sounded so clear in the stillness of the night. It came from downstairs. It sounded like a door latch. My heart froze, and panic rose within me. I just knew it was Johnny.